whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
Hello, everybody. We're here with the one and only Slash in the dungeon of a nice Munich hotel, just in case you're wondering. But thank you very much for taking the time talking to us.
Yeah.
And hi. When I read the title of your new record, I thought like, oh, that's cool. Slash is finally doing a death metal record. Oh, man, that's going to be so killer. It wasn't. But how did you come to choose this Walmart-friendly record title for your record?
It's the only title I came up with. It was just because, you know, blues and rock and roll have always been considered taboo. And devil's music and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's hide your kids from that, you know.
Yeah.
And I wasn't raised to think that, but I know society at large has always had that kind of attitude towards it, but blues especially. And so when I thought about having a collaborative thing with all these different artists doing a blues record,
yeah.
Orgy of the Damned, right?
All right.
I mean, it seems so obvious to me, and I actually Googled it to see if somebody else had already used it, but they hadn't, so.
Yeah. Slayer didn't come to think of it.
No, yeah.
Well, you know, when you read through the bio of the record, you go like, well, you wanted to do the blues thing for a while, and now you had the time to do it. But then, in like one sentence, they said, well, and then I called up the people to sing. I'm like, how do you, that's the who's who of everybody that's around. I mean, there must have been a logistic nightmare just to get those people in.
I mean, it's difficult. I mean, basically you just have to get on the phone.
Yeah.
If they say yes, then okay. You know, so that's really the hardest part is calling people up and asking the question and seeing if they'll do it. And it was really, I was fortunate on, doing this because I picked songs that like what I would do is I'd have the song and then go, who should sing this?
Yeah, yeah.
And whoever came to mind as being the appropriate singer, I would call them up. But fortunately, I picked the right song for them to sing. And so they would identify with it like automatically. And so then that would make them feel like, you know, more obligated to get involved and sing it properly or whatever, you know, whatever goes through one's mind. But it was great because all the different artists were so open to the material,
yeah.
You know, and it really meant something to them. So what happened was the vocal delivery really came from the heart. They were really singing from a place of like connecting, you know,
yeah.
With the material.
Was there anybody you didn't get?
Well, the biggest one, really, the one that bums me out was Lemmy.
Ah, okay, yeah. Well,
that was because there was a moment there where, fuck, man, Lemmy would be great.
Yeah.
And you know, I still haven't gotten used to the fact that he's not here because I'm so used to him being there, you know? So that was the big one. I try not to make a big deal out of it. There's some people that I couldn't contact until after the record was done.
All right.
And then they showed up and they're like, I hope, but the record's done already.
So there's going to be a volume two.
Well, yeah.
Another orgy.
This one hasn't even come out yet. But anyway, but other than that, everybody that I thought of was available, you know, were there.
It's funny because it's all singers that you invited as guests, you know, naturally, mm-hmm. You know, but then again, I thought like, have you ever thought about or considered doing something with, you know, like somebody like Joe Bonamassa or Kenny Wayne Shepherd, just to have, you know, another blues guitarist come in?
Well, I mean, Gary played on it and Billy Gibbons played on it.
Right.
I mean, those were the guys that I thought of, you know. Okay. I mean, it was basically, I'm selfish. It was basically my blues record to play guitar on, and I was just wanted to get people to sing on it. But that said, you know, I really love Gary Clark's playing and his vocals and stuff, and I had this idea of doing. Originally, it was Crossroads Blues, which is the Robert Johnson song, but it was just a little. It was too slow and too acoustic-y and too like. Do I want to get that serious about it? I want to do something more upbeat. So I ended up going towards the Cream version of Crossroads, and once I'd done that, I called Gary up, and it was just a great excuse to be able to play with Gary. You know? But he, you know, I knew that he would sing and play the shit out of it. And then with Billy Gibbons, who's a good friend of mine and one of my all-time hero players, but asking him to sing Coochie Coochie Man. And then he put some guitar on there. I left a section for him to put some guitar on because, you know, anyway. So that was a huge honor for me. I mean, you know, that said, to do a record where it was just me jamming with all these really cool guitar players, that would be fun too. I'm not, I was just joking about being selfish, even though I am a little bit selfish. Anyway, but you know, and then, you know, so that could happen, you know, where you get together with some of your favorite players. And but it's got to be loose and off the cuff like this is. This was totally loose. It was totally for the fun of it. And everybody just sort of was just having a good time. Mm. When you get into getting a bunch of guitar players together, it depends on how serious everybody takes it. Yeah.
There's probably 1,000 blues classics. And yeah. Well, you picked a couple of where I thought, like, we're not afraid that the blues police would stop by and say, like, you cannot do it like that.
Yeah. Well, okay, so first off, this is, everybody's calling it a blues record, and it is got a lot of blues on it. It's got some R&B on it. It's got some old school rock and roll on it. And it's really just a record of songs that I grew up listening to that I really dig. And I just wanted to be able to record a covers record and be able to play that kind of guitar and whatever. And so it's not supposed to be taken seriously as a blues record. There's so many of those now. Yeah. And there's so many great players doing it. And that's what they do for a living. And I'm a rock and roll guy that comes from the blues that's just doing a bunch of songs that nobody's ever really heard me do before.
Yeah.
So it's not supposed to be taken that seriously. It's not trying to rewrite. I don't even know how to explain it. It's not trying to jump on the bandwagon and say, I'm a blues guy like all you guys now, you know? So, when we start messing with the arrangements and this and that and the other, I didn't really think twice about it. Yeah. I just didn't want to, for my own personal integrity, is, you know, was not to mess with the melodies too much or not mess with the actual song too much and stay true to that, but be able to do arrangements where I felt more comfortable with it and what we were doing, you know?
It's crazy because I think one or the other blues guy will come up and say, like, damn, that's good. How did he do it? It's good.
I mean, the blues police, that's so funny.
I guess it must be some. But, you know, you're going to play a show tomorrow in Munich. Mm. And it's with Miles, you know. But neither him or Axel is on the record, which is...
Well, because this was not really the kind of record where... It was my own little side thing, yeah. So I wasn't really sort of dragging my other guys into that. We're all trying to do our own, you know, the Conspirators and the Guns are all trying to do their own records, and I'm working with them in that capacity. This was just a sort of fun side project that didn't involve anybody else, you know.
So once we go out of this room and leave this room, this whole thing's got to be... Now, are you going to do more with that, right? Is there something you go like, well, we should do this live?
Well, we're doing a tour. I mean, you know, I hate to do it. For me, making a record is just a vehicle.
Okay.
To be able to go out and perform it. So I can't do a record without the idea of doing a tour to support it. So we came up with a blues festival thing that's going to happen in July and August of this year in the U.S. And so there's a bunch of really great other blues players on it. And we're just sort of flying by the seat of our pants and winging it. But if it goes well, then I want to do it every year. It's a fundraiser, and it gives me a great platform to be able to play this kind of thing, you know, for every night for a few months or a couple months. So that prospect is really cool. But also I could hopefully bring it to Europe and be able to bring it here, because there's not a lot of that going on. There's a lot of blues shows, but there's no festivals coming through with a bunch of different artists, you know. So, and there's some great blues artists in different parts of Europe. So we could do a festival with some different people from all over, you know. It'd be really cool. So that's sort of like the idea at this point.
Stepping off a little bit, what can we expect tomorrow night from Slash and Knives?
It's, you know what, this has been a fucking awesome tour.
Yeah.
And it's definitely the best tour that we've done so far. It's like the last thing that we did together, when Four came out, we did a U.S. tour, and then we never got to do the international part. So here we are 3 years later, or 2 years later, supporting that record that came out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But it seems like the time that we spent gone, everybody's like learned the material. Like the fans all say, hey, I know that song. You know, must have listened to the records, because on this tour, everybody knows all the fucking, the whole set, you know. It's been a really great tour. So tomorrow should be a blast.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. There's a couple of people and songs I wanted you to talk about from the blues record. From the blues record, again, I'm sorry about that. You know, obviously, I know The Pusher. Obviously, I know Steppenwolf. Obviously, I would have never thought of Chris Robinson singing that.
He sings the shit out of it.
And he does. But was it the first?
Yeah, he was the first guy.
I can't tell you why.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, the thing was, you know, okay, I got together with the players, right? Johnny and Ted, I've been playing with for years. These guys play on the road doing blues stuff. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They're awesome players. So when we got together, I had that to sort of that foundation, and we put the songs, and I thought, you know, I just don't want it to be the blues record like everybody else's. So that's when the idea for having all the different singers came, just if anything, to make it more eclectic, but also more interesting. And so when I would think of a song, I would think of somebody's voice that really could do a great job, not to sing it the way that the original necessarily was done, but someone would do a great interpretation of it, whose voice lends themselves to that. So I could hear Chris singing that song, and he did. He came in and fucking nailed it. I mean, he was literally in the studio for an hour. We did two takes. You know, brought his harmonica with him, and he just killed it, you know? And that's how it was with all of them. Like, you know, I had this idea of having, and I like with Brian Johnson.
Yeah,
I called him up about it. He goes, "Oh, my son, that's a fucking great idea." and he loved the idea of doing a Howlin' Wolf thing. No one would ever really necessarily know it, but he has that whole background. So it was great to be able to sit in a room with him and have him fucking sing that song and really relish doing it. And you know, that's cool.
What about Demi Lovato? I'm like, your papa was a Rolling Stone. I was like, it makes sense when you listen to it.
Yeah.
But when you read it, you go, okay.
No, I know. But I had a vision. Well, we used to do that song back in 90, actually when Snake Pit.
Yeah,
because Johnny was in a version of Snake Pit with me, and we had this great singer named Rod Jackson, who had this great fucking soul voice, and we, you know, loved playing that song. So all, you know, fast forward 30 years, whatever it is, and I was like, I want to do Papa's Rolling Stone, but I don't want to get another guy who thinks he can sing like the Temptations,
because
Rod's the only one I know that actually can. So, but what I'd rather do is tell that story from a sort of more from a child's perspective, you know, because even when the Temptations do, it's like, why is a bunch of grown men singing about that to their mom, you know, but I get the song because it was real life and I get it. But anyway, so to do a cover of it, try and get somebody a little bit younger and a girl. And that's when Demi came to mind. And I would, even if I had, you know, I've met her and we've hung out and stuff. So I like to say that I know her pretty well. But I would have thought of her anyway, because she has that really sort of young voice, but she has that amazing soulful falsetto. And it was just like, that would be a really effective way of telling that story.
Yeah, that's great. One final question.
No.
You did the blues record. You do everything, whatever comes to your mind, you achieve. Is there anything you still haven't done yet?
Oh, I mean, I think of things as they come.
All right.
So I don't really think too far in the future, and I try not to spend too much time dwelling on past stuff. So it's all really in the moment. So I'm sure there's a bunch of shit I haven't done yet, but I haven't really. I'm doing this right now. So then when I get to that point, you know.
All right. Thank you very much. And thanks for talking to us, taking the time here in Munich.
Yeah, no, it's fun. All right.
Cool record.
whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.